It's week 12, and we have got 8 weeknight games to predict.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome in, Winning Cures Everything. It's a college football podcast. I'm your host, Gary Seegers, at GaryWCE, on all of the different socials. Most active on X, of course. And thank you for jumping in the video. We've got 8 weeknight games that we are going to predict today. We've been doing this for weeks at this point, dating all the way back to when Conference USA started. Now we're in the middle of Maction. We've got a Sun Belt game. We've got an ACC game. We've got a Big 12 game on Friday night that we're going to discuss. First off, subscribe to the video, or subscribe to the channel, like the video, jump in the comments, I want to hear from you, and make sure you subscribe to the podcast as well. Go ahead and check out buymeacoffee.com/winningcures if you like the spreadsheets. I've got a fun matchup simulator, comparison tool, whatever you want to call it, over there. So buymeacoffee.com/winningcures. Now, let's get to the games. Game number one, Tuesday night, 6:30 p.m. Central Time, God's time zone on ESPNU. Kent State is headed to Akron. Two Ohio teams getting ready to go at it. Akron has been playing pretty well as of late. The line right now is Akron minus 5.5. Now, I'm doing this on Sunday afternoon. Got some things I got going on this week, so I'm having to do this a little early. But right now, Akron minus 5.5. Well, my projected stat spread has it Akron minus 5.65, so I'm pretty much dead on the number. Although, I have the score significantly lower, but it is what it is. We've talked about my totals. My power rating's pretty good. My stat simulator, pretty good. Totals, not so much. Either way. My last 4 weeks, I've got Akron by almost 11 points. Now, Kent State had been playing really, really well. Last week, ended up giving the game away to Ball State. Really, Ball State should have that thing won multiple times, it felt like. But regardless, Kent State still one of the least talented teams in the country, but so is Akron. I was surprised when I saw Akron minus 5.5, even at home. And then the last 4 weeks, Akron minus 11. But if you look, Akron 3-2 at home, plus 12.4 so far this year at home. Kent State 1-4, minus 4.2 against the spread so far on the road this season. Akron 6-4 over the last 2 years at home, and Kent State 3-9 on the road, minus 6.3. So there is a difference when Akron is playing at home. Certainly makes sense here. But you look at it, number 111 in PPA margin. Kent State is still number 132. They had been playing better for a little bit. Then they dropped back down. You know, Kearney got the full-time gig, is what it is. Now we look at, you know, penalties per game. Akron is better. Turnover margin, Akron is better. Net explosiveness, just overall explosiveness. Kind of surprising, but Akron is better at that as well, although both of these teams are not very good at it. Both are outside of the top 120 as far as special teams efficiency. So honestly, even though Akron is favored by 5.5, this could be kind of a coin flip game. Akron right now, 4-6. Kent State, 3-6, straight up on the season. I think Akron has been playing better as of late. I am going to go with the last 4 weeks. The home teams have been doing pretty well on these weeknight games. I'm going to stick with that. Both of these teams are not very good. Akron's defense is probably the best unit on the field. They are number 70 in success rate. They are number 75 in PPA allowed per drive. That's predicted points added. And if you look at points per scoring opportunity, Akron's defense, number 78 in points allowed per drive that gets a first down inside their 40, basically finishing drives. Let's say that. Akron number 78 in allowing teams to finish drives. Kent State's offense number 125. They have trouble scoring even when they get down in there. Five factors rank, Akron number 105, Kent State number 126. I'm going to roll with Akron here. I see no reason to doubt them, especially with the last 4 weeks' numbers. They are trending in the right direction. Kent State maybe is not, especially after that loss to Ball State last week. Give me Akron minus 5.5. Game number two, still on Tuesday, 7 p.m. Central Time on ESPN2. Ohio heads to Western Michigan. And Western Michigan, it's surprisingly good this year. They are 5-4 straight up. Really got going once they got into MAC play. Ohio, still good, 6-3, even with a change at head coach. Brian Smith is now the head coach here. Lance Taylor, Walt Bell, and Chris O'Leary for Western Michigan doing their thing. The defense is fantastic for Western Michigan. But this Ohio offense, I think Parker Navarro, the quarterback, probably the best player in the MAC this year. He has been maybe for the last 2 years. This is a really good quarterback that I was surprised didn't go somewhere else in the portal. He wanted to stick it out at Ohio. The spread right now, Ohio minus 2.5 with a total of 47.5. I've got a total of 43.5 on this. I've got Western Michigan actually favored by 0.02 points. So this is very, very close to a pick 'em for me. But the last 4 weeks, I've got Western Michigan favored by 1 point. I found that interesting. So, I mean, we're talking, like, look at this, the score here, the implied score, according to the sports books, is 25-22.5 Ohio. I've got it 21.75-21.73. I mean, I'm right on it. Again, this is a home team that is, you know, good at covering at home. Western Michigan, 4-1 against the spread so far this year. They are plus 15.7 against the number. And Ohio on the road, 1-2-1 against the spread so far this year. They are minus 3. Found that's margin per game against the spread. So this is normally, if Ohio is pretty good, I would feel like taking Ohio. But this Western Michigan defense is really good, and Western Michigan at home is really good as well. The offense leaves a lot to be desired, but it's not like this Ohio defense is really good at all. They are number 105 in yards allowed per attempt on defense. Ohio's defense is number 106 in QBR allowed. They are number 78 in pass success rate allowed. But Western Michigan's offense, I mean, is number 120 in PPA per drive, predicted points added per drive. The best thing they do is run the ball, number 62 in rushing success rate. They run it almost 60% of the time, but they're number 86 in PPA per rush, number 106 in yards per rush. They just keep at it. They might have a slight advantage when they're running the football. On the other side, this is strength on strength. Ohio's offense, if you see up here, number 48 in PPA per drive, they're number 49 in offensive success rate, number 38 in yards per pass attempt. Well, Western Michigan's defense is number 49 there. They're really good at running the ball as well, but Western Michigan really good at stopping it. Western Michigan, number 22 in yards allowed per rush. Ohio, number 28 in yards per rush on offense. As far as finishing drives, Ohio, they have trouble. Number 94 in points per scoring opportunity. Western Michigan's defense, number 54. On the other side, Western Michigan, number 102 in points per scoring opportunity. Ohio's defense is number 11. Now, part of that could be turnovers. It could be any number of things. Both of these are better at taking the ball away than they are giving it away, right? Both of them are tied at number 77 in giveaways per game. But Western Michigan, number 39 in takeaways per game. Ohio, number 64 in takeaways per game. This is going to be an interesting ballgame. Ohio, just better overall. Five factors ranked at number 59. Western Michigan is number 86. I think these are two really equal teams, and you've got the home team that is getting points. I'm going to take Western Michigan. So give me the Broncos at home, plus 2.5. If it gets to a 3, I'm probably going to, that'll be an official play for me over at buymeacoffee.com/winningcures. But yeah, Western Michigan, I think they've got a slight advantage here. I think this defense is really good. So give me the Broncos plus 2.5.
Are you tired of sore knees or joints slowing you down? Ghost Sleeves uses built-in kinesiology tape technology to give you support, reduce pain, and help you recover faster. Use code WCE for 15% off over at ghostsleeves.com.
And if you haven't already, go ahead, subscribe to the video, subscribe to the channel, good gracious, like the video, and of course, jump in the comments and let me know your picks on these games. Game at number 3, we move to Wednesday night, 6 p.m. Central, and of course, We are still in Maction, Central Michigan, hosting Buffalo here. We are getting to the nitty-gritty as far as who is going to represent the MAC in the MAC title game. That's what we're looking for here. And our spread right now, Central Michigan favored by 2.5 points, total of 43.5. I've got Central Michigan favored by 1.79. Over the last 4 weeks, though, Central Michigan has been playing a lot better. I've got them favored by a little over a touchdown. Power rating, I've got Central Michigan by 2. So I'm pretty close to the number. Favored by less than a field goal, that totally makes sense to me. Central Michigan, number 62 in PPA margin. They have really come on since hiring Matt Drinkall. He was the offensive line coach at Army. They're doing a really good job. On offense, they run the ball almost 70% of the time, but they're not great at it. What they are great at is throwing the football, and they never do it. Number 132 in pass rate. They throw it less than 30% of the time. Just wild. Number 11 in PPA per pass. Number 6 in QBR. Number 32 in passing explosiveness. And yet, number 100 in passing success rate. So it's not like it's all the time, but they hit for some big plays pretty frequently. They're number 107 in rushing success rate, even though they run it 70% of the time. Buffalo's defense is probably the best unit on the field. Number 38 in PPA allowed per drive. That's predicted points added per drive. They're number 19 in defensive success rate, and they are really good against the run. And if Central Michigan continues to try and run the football on them, that's going to be an issue. They are number 14 in rushing success rate, number 12 in rushing explosiveness allowed, number 26 in yards allowed per rush. They are number 6 in points allowed per scoring opportunity, and Central Michigan can't finish drives, number 81 in points per scoring opportunity. Buffalo also, which this makes sense, Pete Limbo being their coach, number 26 in special teams efficiency. Central Michigan, number 94 in special teams efficiency. Now on the other side, when Buffalo has the ball, their offense, not very good. Obviously, you can see up here, number 99 in offensive success rate. Central Michigan is number 71 in defensive success rate. They're very balanced, Buffalo is, as far as running and throwing the football. Their pass rate is number 53. Their rush rate is number 80. But it's basically 50-50, right? Very, very close on both of those. The defense for Central Michigan, a lot better against the pass than they are against the run. However, it's not like Buffalo specializes in either one of these things. There's nothing about them that really shows anything. They are pretty good at finishing drives. I say pretty good, as in they're slightly better than what Central Michigan does. And Central Michigan's defense is not great at keeping teams out of the end zone. Number 84 in defensive red zone touchdown rate. They're number 82 in points allowed per scoring opportunity. Buffalo's offense, number 78 in points per scoring opportunity. Five factors rank, Buffalo number 77, Central Michigan number 87. So these teams are pretty close when it comes down to it. Central Michigan 3-0 against the spread at home. They are plus 8.5. Buffalo 2-2, and they are plus 0.3 against the spread on the road. So Central Michigan much better at home, and you can tell that basically since last year. They are 7-2 against the spread at home over the last 2 years. Buffalo 5-5 against the spread, minus 2.6 over the last two seasons on the road. The Buffalo defense, certainly the best unit on the field. They are great in the red zone, but this is a game that I feel like could come down to field goals and all that kind of stuff, which would certainly lean in Buffalo's favor. Penalties per game, that is in the favor of Buffalo. Turnovers, as far as turnover margin, that's in the favor of Central Michigan. Central Michigan is at home. I feel like they play better at home. Buffalo, they have just underwhelmed me completely this year. And if you look at strength of schedule, number 136 for Buffalo, number 89 for Central Michigan. I think Central Michigan is the better team. I'm getting them under a field goal. I don't feel great about this one, but what we do on the show is we make picks. We go with sides. I'll take Central Michigan minus 2.5 at home. Game number 4, and we are staying on Wednesday, 6 p.m. Central Time, God's time zone, on ESPNU. Northern Illinois goes to UMass, and these two teams are woof, right? Just not good. UMass, the only winless team in FBS right now, 0-9. They are 2-6 and One of these is against an FCS team, but they are 2-6 against the spread. Northern Illinois 2-7 straight up, 2-7 against the spread. NIU is 1-4 against the spread on the road. UMass is 1-3 against the spread at home, so there is no real advantage for home field or anything like that. I mean, you start looking at PPA margin, number 135 for UMass, number 131 for Northern Illinois. 10.5 feels like a lot of points, especially over the last 4 weeks. Northern Illinois just got trounced last week by Toledo, but UMass also got whipped by Akron, which is way worse. I mean, the point margins were basically the same, and UMass played a significantly worse team than NIU did. So they're almost daring you to take UMass because UMass has played below the expectation so many times this year. I mean, they are just atrocious. Number 136 in PPA per drive for UMass, number 120 on defense. But NIU, number 135 PPA per drive on offense, and number 90 on defense. So your guess is as good as mine as to who is going to actually show up in this spot. Normally you would think UMass at home, catching points, this is another bad team. And when you bet on a bad team, you're betting on that bad team to be good, right? Like, and that's, my dad taught me that years ago. I've already said it on this show multiple times this year. You never bet on a bad team to play well. You never bet on a bad team to be good. Well, in this situation, you're betting on somebody that is a really bad football team to do something that they probably shouldn't, right? That they are not capable of doing. Like, this is, all of the offensive stats for UMass are bad. All of the defensive stats for UMass are bad. The only thing that I can come up with here is that NIU's defense is really good against the pass. I say really good. They are number 42 in QBR allowed, number 49 in yards allowed per pass attempt, number 13 in passing explosiveness allowed, but they are number 85 in passing success rate allowed. UMass is number 129. UMass is so far down the database as far as explosiveness goes that I don't even have them on here. I mean, it's... Oh, I got to fix that. But regardless, that lets you know that they are like number 136 in explosiveness. They are here. You can look right there. Offensive explosiveness, NA, defensive explosiveness, NA, net NA. I mean, it's they're bad. They are so bad. Points per play margin, number 136. They are number 136 in points per play, number 122 in points per play allowed. Until further notice, there is just no way that I'm going to take UMass, regardless of what the number is. Thomas Hammock and company, I don't necessarily believe in them, but when it comes to playing UMass, yeah, probably. I've got Northern Illinois by 5.5. My power rating has them by 6.6. Last 4 weeks, I've only got them by 1.39. But UMass plays so poorly that I really got to fix that database. I've still got them as an FBS independent. UMass is part of the MAC now, in case you did not know. But yeah, I think if nothing else, Northern Illinois' defense is pretty good. So I don't believe that they're going to be able to score here. And Northern Illinois, I could see them getting 3 or 4 touchdowns here, maybe 4 touchdowns, because I think that's kind of the baseline against UMass's defense. I don't know that UMass can put up more than like 10 points. If they couldn't put up more than 10 points on Akron when they allowed like 44 or 45, whatever it was, Northern Illinois, I think, will be able to slow them down as well. So 10.5, give me the Huskies. Minus 10.5, I'm going against the number. But man, again, UMass is so bad. NIU, minus 10.5.
Are you looking to catch your favorite team or concert live? Ticket Smarter makes buying tickets safe and simple. And with our promo code, you save big. Use WCE10 for $10 off an order of $100 or more, or WCE20 for $20 off $300 or more. Grab your tickets now at Ticket Smarter.
If you like the spreadsheets that we're working with here, go and check out buymeacoffee.com/winningcures. There's a link in the description. It's $5 a month, $50 for the year. They might come in handy when it comes to playoff time. They might come in handy when it comes to conference championship games or for the rest of the regular season, all that. And you would be supporting me. One-man operation here. I edit all these videos. I do all these numbers. I love college football. So if you want to support me, go and check it out. BuyMeACoffee.com/winningcures. All right, game number five, still staying in action. This one on Wednesday night, again, 6 p.m. Central on ESPN2. And this is a fun matchup. Miami of Ohio at home hosting Toledo. Now, this is, the numbers are always weird on Miami of Ohio because they never really start playing until they get to conference play. Chuck Martin, they play very difficult teams, typically. I mean, they're number 121 in current strength of schedule, but they play Power Four teams in their non-con. They don't really care about them. And then they get into MAC play, and they're world beaters. Like, they probably should have beaten Ohio last week, if we're looking at the box score and being honest, right? They had a really good chance to win that game, even on the road. They've only got one loss in conference play. Toledo just destroyed NIU last week. But if you look, they are 1-3 against the spread on the road, -12.6. Miami, 3-1 against the spread at home, +5.4. So there is a vast difference in these two teams, depending on where they play. Toledo right now is favored by 3.5 points, total of 44.5. I've got a total of 42.5 on this. I've got Toledo favored by 4.5 based on full year stats. My power rating only has Toledo by 2, and the last 4 weeks' numbers have Miami favored by 5. Pretty wild, huh? Pretty wild. Okay, so let's dive in. PPA margin, Miami is number 60, Toledo is number 6. You would think that would have something to do with the current strength of schedule, all that kind of stuff, but no. I mean, these two teams are pretty equal when it comes to that. The Toledo defense is so good. They are so, so good. And Miami's offense is not exactly anything to write home about. Number 79 in PPA per drive. Toledo's defense, number 2 in PPA allowed per drive on defense. Miami likes to run the football, and they are better at running the football than they are at throwing it. However, they score more points throwing the football. They are number 52 in PPA per pass, but they are number 86 in passing success rate. They are number 63 in rushing success rate, but number 80 in PPA per rush. They are 57th in yards per rush. Toledo is number 5 in yards allowed per rush. Toledo beats up on really bad teams, typically. But when they go on the road, it's anybody's ballgame. They especially don't play well as a double-digit favorite on the road. But they are, again, this year, 1-3 against the spread on the road, -12.6. Again, Miami, 3-1 against the spread at home, +5.4. And you start diving into five factors rank, number 60 against number 42. Toledo, more talent, number 84 in overall talent rank. Miami, number 90. Miami is better on special teams. These two teams are basically equal when it comes to turnover margin. Toledo, a little bit better at not giving the ball away. But also, they both average around one giveaway per game, is what it is. Penalties per game, that's in Miami of Ohio's favor. And again, Chuck Martin, that bunch plays so much better once they get into conference play because I think they understand, hey, we're just trying to win this conference. We are not worried about these non-conference games. This is just pregame, this or preseason. This is to get us ready for the conference slate. And they do it year in and year out. And they have for years and years. It doesn't matter who's on their team. Just is what it is. Toledo's offense, pretty good. Tucker Gleason and company, number 32 in PPA per pass, number 70 in PPA per rush. They're number 38 in yards per pass attempt. Miami's defense is number 18 in yards allowed per attempt. Miami's defense, pretty good against the pass. Not as good against the run, but they are 46th in yards allowed per rush. They are number 22 in rushing explosiveness allowed, number 83 in rushing success rate allowed. Toledo, number 36 in yards per rush, but number 95 in rushing success rate allowed. Now let's look at who can finish drives. Toledo, 52nd in points per scoring opportunity. A scoring opportunity is when you get a first down inside the opponent's 40-yard line. Miami's defense is number 50, and they don't allow many scoring opportunities per game. Number 13 in the country when it comes to that. On the other side, Miami number 69 in points per scoring opportunity. Toledo's defense is number 25 in points allowed per scoring opportunity. So, really, what this boils down to is both of these teams are pretty equal. I don't feel like it should be 3.5. I think this thing should be closer to a pick 'em, especially with it being at Miami of Ohio. But Toledo is going to be favored in basically every game that they play in the MAC, always. So I think Miami of Ohio at home plays significantly better, especially considering their backs are against the wall and they have to win because they lost last week. Toledo coming off of a massive win at home against NIU. They don't play well on the road anyway. Give me Miami. Miami plus 3.5 here. Game number 6, we move to Thursday night. This one is a Sun Belt competition, and this one 6:30 p.m. Central Time on ESPN. Troy heads to Old Dominion, and Old Dominion currently favored by 10.5 with a total of 52.5. I'm going to tell you, I have Old Dominion by 8.11. My power rating has Old Dominion by 6.2, and my last 4 weeks number has Old Dominion minus 2.16. Troy, before they lost last week, they were 6-2. They are now 6-3. Old Dominion is 6-3 as well. Troy plays significantly better away from home. Plus 15.6, they are 4-0 against the spread on the road so far this season. Old Dominion just 2-2 at home. Plus 9.1. So they beat up on somebody really good. The rest of the time, not so much. They are 4-6 against the spread at home in the past two seasons. And Troy on the road, 7-3 against the spread in the last two seasons, plus 6.7. So let's take a look. The Old Dominion numbers are really, really good. Number 24 in PPA margin, they really racked those things up early on. That offense was clicking. They've got Kevin Decker, who I think gave some different looks as far as, you know, Sun Belt competition had not really seen something like this. But what James Madison caught on to it, everybody has caught on to it. Marshall certainly was able to put up some points on them, et cetera. This was, yeah, Old Dominion looked like they could be in contention for maybe that G5 playoff spot. And instead, not so much. You know, they've lost a couple of games here. Is what it is. Old Dominion, number 15 in PPA per pass. They are number 69 in PPA per rush, but they are number 15 in yards per rush. Troy's defense is pretty good, but not great against the pass. And, you know, hit or miss when it comes to stopping the run. They're also not great on defense. On offense. Number 81 in PPA per pass, number 91 in PPA per rush, number 125 in yards per rush, and they are number 84 in yards per pass attempt. This Troy team is just overall not a great football team, but on defense, they are number 58 in points allowed per scoring opportunity. Old Dominion is number 45 in that. And on offense, Troy is number 63 in points per scoring opportunity. Old Dominion's defense is number 47. Turnover margin, Troy is significantly better. Old Dominion, number 135 in giveaways per game. I don't know if that's something that you can coach out of a team. They are number 123 nationally in interceptions thrown per pass attempt. Troy is number 45 in interceptions gained per pass attempt defended. Old Dominion, number 133 in fumbles lost per rushing attempt. Troy's defense, number 42 in fumbles gained per rushing attempt defended. So all of the numbers say that Old Dominion should probably cover this. They're better on offense. They're better on defense. All these things. But if you keep giving the other team opportunities, then eventually the dam's going to break. I think it does the same thing here. Again, Troy plays significantly better on the road for whatever reason. The last 4 weeks has got Old Dominion by 2.16. Even my full season stat spread has got Old Dominion by 8. At some point, you are what you are. Old Dominion gives the ball away a lot. This seems like a lot of points. I'll take Troy plus 10.5 here.
Stop guessing and start winning. Stochastic provides advanced data and strategies for DFS players and bettors built by pros who know how to find edges. Click the link in the description and sign up today. Why struggle doing everything yourself? On Fiverr, you can hire professionals for just about anything. Marketing, editing, design, and more. Save time, get it done right. Click the link in the description to get started.
Like the video, subscribe to the channel. It's free to do that, right? That helps me out tremendously. And of course, jump in the comments and give me your picks on these games. I want to know what you think about the weeknight slate. Game number 7 to the ACC we go, and Louisville is hosting Clemson. Louisville got upset last week by Cal. And I say last week, I mean it was just a couple of days ago. But they lost at home. They are still in contention for the ACC. But that's what Jeff Brohm does. Shows up for big games. You go and drop one every year that you probably shouldn't. Last year it was Stanford. This year it's Cal at home. Is what it is, right? And that's Justin Wilcox also does the same thing. Like he always gets one somewhere that he's probably not supposed to. Clemson finally got off the mat last week, got their first home win in over a calendar year by beating Florida State, beat them 24-10. Louisville right now favored by 3.5 at home, total of 51.5. My power rating has Louisville by 3.6. My stats projected spread has Louisville by 5.3. My last 4 weeks only has Louisville by 2.32. Clemson, so far, has 5 losses on the season. They have to continue winning if they even want to make a bowl game. I found that interesting. 2025 at home for Louisville, 0-6 against the spread, minus 8.4. Clemson 2-1 against the spread on the road, plus 8.2. Does Clemson play better on the road? Kind of seems like that's what Louisville does. Louisville 4-8 against the spread at home over the past 2 seasons. Mind-blowing. Mind-blowing numbers. Okay, so all of these numbers would lead you to believe that Louisville is a overall better football team. Their defense is better. The offense is not as good. But Clemson, who can you trust there, right? Let's look at who can finish drives. The Clemson defense, number 19 in points allowed per scoring opportunity. Louisville gets a first down inside the opponent's 40-yard line, a.k.a. a scoring opportunity. The 12th most in the country, 7.75 drives per game that they get a first down inside the opponent 40. They're number 84 in points per scoring opportunity, only 3.66 points per drive. Clemson, number 19 in points allowed per scoring opportunity. On the other side, Clemson, number 41 in points per scoring opportunity. Now, they don't get down there as often, 6.38 drives per game that they get a first down inside the opponent 40. But Louisville's defense, number 45 in points allowed per scoring opportunity. Turnover margin, Louisville much better, number 49. They are great at taking the ball away. Number 15 in takeaways per game, but they are number 104 in giveaways per game. That hurts. They're number 76 in interceptions thrown per pass attempt. They're number 128 in fumbles lost per rush attempt. But Clemson is only number 83 in takeaways per game. So can Clemson generate turnovers and be able to win this ball game? Clemson, you would think, has an overall talent rank or a talent advantage, but it really hadn't shown itself much this year. As far as running the football, Clemson's not been very good at that. They are pretty good at passing it. Louisville's defense is elite at stopping the pass. Number 12 in yards allowed per pass attempt, number 14 in QBR allowed, number 8 in PPA allowed per pass. Significantly better than what Clemson actually does on offense. 5 factors rank, Louisville is number 36, Clemson is number 44. And again, Louisville just finds ways to lose these kind of games at home so far this year. 0-6 against the spread at home is just nuts for a 7-2 football team. I don't trust them very much, but I also don't trust Clemson. So this is a wild one. If you're putting your money on this, cheers to you. On this show, we make picks even if we don't necessarily like the game all that much. So we're going to pick a side here. I think that I'm going to go with Clemson on this one. Even at 3.5, that's going against the number. Last 4 weeks, though, again, Louisville minus 2.32. I think Clemson might have found something last week. Louisville is now in a very precarious situation if they're wanting to get to the ACC championship game. How do they react? How do they respond after losing at home to Cal in overtime last week? I'll take Clemson. back against the wall. Clemson needs to make a bowl game. Dabo's got them kind of feeling themselves at the moment, especially showing up against Florida State like that. I'll take Clemson, plus 3.5. Last game on Friday night, this one at 8 p.m. Central Time, God's time zone, of course, on Fox, Oregon, after a big win in Kinnick last week. They are hosting Minnesota. And right now, Oregon is favored by 20.5 with a total of 46.5, and Oregon is beat up. I mean, just all over creation, they are beat up. Which is why the number is lower than it probably should be. My stats projected spread has Oregon by 25.89. My power rating has Oregon by 20. And my last 4 weeks has Oregon by 24. If Minnesota has Darius Taylor healthy, they might could muck this thing up. They might could make this ugly. Otherwise, I think Oregon's going to be glad to not be in 33 degrees and raining. And snowing and whatnot that they were in Iowa City last week. So, Oregon still number 2 in PPA margin, number 3 per drive, number 7 in PPA per drive on defense. Minnesota's offense, it's like worlds different when Darius Taylor plays. But even still, so far this season, number 103 in PPA per drive. They're number 44 in PPA allowed per drive on defense. Number 89, offensive success rate for Minnesota. Number 72, defensive for the Golden Gophers. Oregon, number 14 on offense. Number 18 on defense, as far as those go. Available yards margin, Oregon is number 1. They're number 6 on offense, number 2 on defense. I'm not seeing where Minnesota is going to be able to hang in this one. Oregon, number 32 in special teams efficiency. Minnesota, number 119. Penalties per game, both are inside the top 20. Turnover margin, both are inside the top 50, although Oregon number 21, Minnesota number 49. Five factors rank, Oregon is number 3, Minnesota number 57. But I think Oregon is going to run away with this thing in the first half. Oregon number 2 in first half point margin, Minnesota number 105. One of these two teams plays significantly better in the first half. Now, you could also say that about the second half when it comes to Oregon, but first half is a world of difference. One that's a top 2 team, the other outside the top 100. Big difference. Oregon at home, 3-2 against the spread at home, plus 4 there. Minnesota, they are 2-6 against the spread so far this year. They are 6-3 straight up on the season. But they are 0-3 against the spread on the road, minus 20.7. They have been bad away from home. And now they got to go back out to the West Coast again. We already saw them go out to Cal. And just, they did not look good out there at all. Oregon, you know, 6-6 against the spread the last two seasons at home. But they are 3-2 so far this year. This is the kind of spot where Dan Lanning and company didn't look great at Iowa. The last time we saw them not look great was against Indiana. And the next week they came out at Rutgers and just boot to rear end, right? Especially in the first half. My projected first half margin is Oregon minus 12. I think it could be worse than that. I mean, that's based on season averages and power rating and all that kind of stuff. I think it could be worse than that. Even with the injuries, even with all that, I don't see Minnesota being able to hang in this ballgame. There's nothing that tells me that. Special teams, being able to finish drives, like Minnesota's not as good at stopping teams from getting into the end zone. I don't see it. But we'll see. I mean, Minnesota has surprised me on a Friday before. Granted, that was at home against Nebraska. This Oregon team is worlds different than that Nebraska team. So in this one, I'm going to roll with it. Give me Oregon minus 20.5. All right, let's recap it. Akron minus 5.5, Western Michigan plus 2.5, Central Michigan minus 2.5, NIU minus 10.5, Miami of Ohio plus 3.5, Troy plus 10.5, Clemson plus 3.5, Oregon minus 20.5. Again, check out bettingcfb.com or buymeacoffee.com/winningcures. If you like the spreadsheets, if you want to check out the matchup comparison tool, etc., you can do that. And yeah, support the show. Subscribe to the channel, like the video, jump in the comments. Let me know what your picks are for this week. And Yeah, we're feeling good. We went 7-2 in weeknight games against the number last week, hoping for the same this week. Maybe not 7-2 since there's only 8 games, but 6-2 would be nice. I can get down with that. All right, you guys have been fantastic. We'll see you again on Tuesday for the biggest games of the week. Of course, those are coming on Saturday. But Tuesday is when we talk about them. So make sure that you are subscribed to the channel here. With that said, take care of yourself. Take care of each other. God bless college football. And hopefully, all of your tickets cash this week.
Thanks for listening to Winning Cures Everything. Subscribe, leave a review or comment. Follow @GaryWCE on X. And check out the web store,